I have two boys that I'm like, I'm giving them the image of what a relationship should be, how a woman should be treated, what is to be expected when they're in a relationship. And I was like, this is not what I want them growing up learning. A relationship that's just roommates with no love. And so I was like, I don't want them to witness this and think that this is normal.
Welcome to Fatherhood Voices, Breaking the Toxic Cycle. Dive in as real dads bear all the mess ups, make ups, and every heartfelt moment in between. It's raw, it's real, and it might just change the way you see family.
Welcome to another episode of Fatherhood Voices. Now, today I have a very special guest, and it's someone that I met back in October when we journeyed together in Costa Rica. So, and had a chance to form a bond, and we had a chance to connect and share highs and lows of parenting and relationships. And been excited to have you on because you're doing a lot of things in the community with motherhood and how your journey's been with going from marriage and transitioning into now single parenting and co-parenting. So yeah, there's a journey there, and I'm excited to have you on.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So maybe you can just introduce the audience, let them know who you are, where you're from, where you live at.
So my name's Carly Pynchon. Thank you so much for having me on. And my journey in terms of, there's so much, but like my journey where I kind of started sharing outwardly started with like health, fitness, self-love, all those things. And then that led me into a season of motherhood. And just recently in the last few years, noticing that there was just things that weren't right within my relationship. And so last year officially is when we decided to split. And I have two kids. They're 5 and 6 now, but they were, what does that make them? 4 and 5 at the time. And I think when I noticed something was wrong in my relationship was all the way back in 2021. So I don't know, they were like 2 and 3 years old. And I could already tell, I was like, oh shit, like I'm in this position with kids. And I think that's honestly the only reason that was keeping me in the relationship was the fact that I did have kids. And then last year we decided to officially separate. So we've been separated for just about a year now. Co-parenting, single parenting, all the adjustments, all the things that come with splitting up and then also having children. And so I'm open to talk about any of it because I think for me personally, the co-parenting hasn't been that tough. What was tough was having the courage to make the decision that that's what I wanted to do. And it was the worry of, am I going to damage or ruin my kids by like not having the parents be together? And that was the biggest thing that was holding me back from making that decision for me.
Now, what about your upbringing?
Mm-hmm.
Your mother, father, because I'm sure that had played into your decision.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a mother, father household or was there, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. always perfect. But I grew up, my parents stayed together for the kids. They've always been together. They're still together, miserably. And what I noticed about me was I was like, oh my God, if I don't change something, like I'm becoming my mom and this relationship dynamic is going to be just like my parents. And I do not want my kids growing up witnessing that because I realized I was playing out that exact same relationship that I saw growing up. And I didn't even realize until it hit me when I was so full of resentment that I was like, I'm literally mirroring the exact same relationship I witnessed growing up that from 15 on, I had told my parents, I'm like, why are you guys together? Like, this doesn't make sense. Don't stay together for me. Get a divorce. Like, you guys don't enjoy each other. You should be in love. You should be enjoying each other. Like, this doesn't make sense. And they've always been like, no, we're sticking together. We've made it this far. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And so I realized that. And I went, I have two boys that I'm like, I'm giving them the image of what a relationship should be, how a woman should be treated, what is to be expected when they're in a relationship. And I was like, this is not what I want them growing up learning. A relationship that's just roommates with no love. And so I was like, I don't want them to witness this and think that this is normal.
And from the time you were 15, you realized that. And maybe probably before that, but you finally maybe had the voice to speak up. So how was your relationship with your father if this was going on?
So it's kind of funny. Like I always try to reflect with both my parents and think, okay, like, and I've talked with my mom about it and she thinks at certain points, she almost like had me in the middle of understanding, like, because I was always doing the conflict resolution. I was always the one like trying to mediate and make sure everyone was happy and like manage everyone's emotions and make sure my mom wasn't upset because then I didn't want them to be fighting. And so I was always in the middle of like trying to manage all of that. And I think with my dad, I was always way like a daddy's girl. Like if he was leaving, I was always so sad. Like I never wanted him to leave. And we did a lot of stuff together. Like he was very engaged and always there. So I always try to think back. I'm like, okay, it's not like I didn't have a father figure. So why would I choose such an emotionally unavailable man? And I think it's not that I didn't have the father figure being emotionally available. And I've watched him with my own kids now to see that I'm like, okay, when they show big emotions, he leaves. So there are little things where I'm like, even though he was there emotionally, he for sure probably wasn't able to show up for me in the way that he could have. And then I also think I was mirroring my mom and dad's relationship. So even though he was present for me, he is not emotionally available for my mom, like never could hold space for her. If she was crying, he checks out when there's emotion. And so I'm like, I think I was almost mirroring that in my relationship, but I don't know. It's funny with parents. I'm like, I feel like our relationship's good, but that generation, it's just a little surface level, you know? Like you try to have deep conversations and they're like, how's the weather?
Yeah. How do we as a collective start to fix that? How do we start to really get away from these surface level conversations?
For sure.
And start to peel those layers because, you know, their healing is our healing and our healing is their healing. So how do we start that, Carly?
All I can say is I've just been focusing on me. So I had to make the decision, even with my separation, even with my parents, all the things. It was like, all I can do is become who I can be and do my own healing for me. And if it ends up impacting them, great. If not, that's okay. Like for some people, it's just never going to be their journey. They're never going to get there. And obviously there's nothing we can do about that. But at my last ceremony that I was at, just like last weekend, my mom came to me in my journey and I was able to see all the ways that like all the feelings she would have felt, for example, like when we sold our house or when we were letting go of things and how she may have felt not seen. And so I came home and I said that to her and she instantly started crying. And I was like, I think moments like that where you may want, because for a little while I was like, I'm so sick of being the mom. Like I've mommed you. I've been the parent this whole time. Like I want to be the child. I'm so done doing this for you guys and like being the mediator. And so that was not necessarily coming from a place of love in my heart. It was more like, I need to set this boundary to get myself out of playing this role. And now I'm able to come back and like by seeing her with love and like seeing her with compassion, she was able to like cry and feel loved and heard and seen. And so I feel like those little moments open something up for them to maybe feel more comfortable stepping into something that is more vulnerable. And at this point now, for a while, I was like, oh, I could never like take them to, I don't know, like a journey or like do breath work. But I feel like they both might be open to it. And so I'm like, maybe eventually they'll be willing to try something like that. And then it's their own journey, right? It's like all we can do is kind of be the example and the invitation is always there, but there's no forcing it upon anyone. It's like they've got to be ready. And I think when it comes to the surface level conversations, they need to be willing to look at themselves. And if they're not in a place that they even know how to tap into their own heart or tap into what they're feeling or comfortable sharing that or being vulnerable or connecting with that, it's going to be really hard to have any conversation of depth because they're not willing to go there. So it's like, I don't know, it's an individual journey of allowing yourself to go deeper within yourself.
You know, I love that you're exploring the possibility of having them, you know, do breath work or meditation because, you know, I didn't have a good relationship with my father. Mm-hmm. And, but he's now journeyed with us with ayahuasca and mushrooms. And it's not only has it showed him like how he didn't show up, but it's opened those conversations. So my mom was totally against it. But she's now sat in on journeys and sat in on integration. Mm-hmm. So I think she's getting closer to it. But it's like I said, when you say that you're on your journey, so I'm on my journey, mm-hmm. and my healing is going to come from their healing, and they're going to get curious.
Yeah.
And even something as simple as breath work, And you say that your father, he runs from emotions.
Yeah.
When you sit with breath work, there's no way you can run from it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to get you whether you want to or not. Sitting with yourself. And I really think that when that happens, that's going to really change the dynamics of your family. And wow, that's powerful.
So there's hope. I don't know, right? But I just think if they're willing, same thing with like my ex-husband. I'm like, if he would just be willing to do this stuff, it could be so helpful for him because you end up noticing like they're just afraid of themselves. Like it has nothing really to do with you. The only reason they're not able to like be there for you emotionally is they don't know how to be there for themselves emotionally. And so if it's blocked off, the moment that you show emotion, it's so triggering because they don't know how to even deal with their own emotions. So now you come at them with their emotions and they're like, ugh, and they disconnect, they disassociate. They're not able to hold the space for that.
And where did you start this? I mean, you started having these days when you were younger.
Yeah.
And you're realizing like, this isn't what I want. But then you got stuck in this relationship that you repeated the cycle. Is that okay to say that?
Yep.
Okay. And then how many years were you married?
I don't know. We were married for 5, I think. Yeah. Married for 5 and together for like 8-ish.
Oh. And then, so you were starting to repeat that cycle a little bit. When did you have this epiphany? Was it when you finally started to sit with yourself? Where did you have the self-realization?
I think, well, to give perspective too of how I ended up there, my first like real relationship was super toxic, super abusive, not healthy in any way. And so because of that relationship, it sent me into thinking masculine meant like control. Masculine meant toxic. Being provided for meant that you get abused. And so I associated all of these qualities with abuse, basically, and being mistreated. And so when I jumped into the person I ended up getting married to, with him, it was like, okay, he's safe. And safe in the way that was safe because he wasn't explosive, for example. But that I didn't realize at the time he was also like disconnected from his emotions. And so safe in the sense that I knew he wasn't going to necessarily like hurt me by like running out and cheating on me. Like he wasn't that type of guy. And obviously when you start to look at like masculine and feminine energies, it's like I totally in that time took on the masculine role and became the person who was like in control and all of those things. And so it's like I went total polar opposite rather than looking for someone who was self-assured, competent, knew who they were, because I assumed those types of qualities meant like they're going to cheat on you, leave you, whatever. So all of that kind of led me into that partnership. And I think, what was the original question? Just went off topic.
Oh, no. It was just about how it showed up for you and your parents. I don't know. I got lost in it too because it's such intense.
Well, it's just because I think it's like, yes, I was repeating the pattern, but I think it's also important to look at, okay, what other things did you go into, right? That like would have led you into this circumstance and this situation. And with my parents, I think I was doing everything out of a place of, okay, well, he looks good on paper because he's got a job and like his family is good and my parents like him. And I was not connected to me. So it's like I was doing everything out of what I thought I should be doing. Like, okay, well, I'm 22 now and like we're about to have a baby. So we should get married and I have my job now. So I should, you know, I was just doing everything based on the shoulds. I wasn't actually connected to myself. And so when you talk about the epiphany, I think that's what the original question was. I look back and when we got married, we just did it because I was pregnant. It wasn't a real like, you are my person and I want to be with you forever. We hadn't really made that choice. It was just like it was working. It was good. It wasn't like a toxic relationship. So I'm like, this is great. Like, yeah, we can get married. No problem. Let's just have a baby. Yeah, no problem. So we just kind of went with the motion. But when we both got married, I feel like, and I don't know if it's because I had a dream, I always knew I was getting divorced. And I remember moving into this house and the people who had it before us were going through a divorce. And I went, do you think this is like bad juju? And he was like, no, like whatever. And I'm like, I knew it wasn't forever, even though I didn't know, you know, like, and I can't remember if it came to me in a dream. but I still have an image of me and him in front of some dresser dressed properly. And I never knew it was him until now. And we're like, we're really doing this. And we're like, yeah, we are. And it was so mutual. Like it was, we both agreed that we knew we were going to get divorced basically in this moment. But in the relationship, when I knew like, oh shit, it's time, I was listening to a podcast about soul contracts and it hit me and I went, I literally fell to the floor because I went, oh my God, ours is done. That's why I can feel it because I'm like, ours is done. There's nothing else to learn here, grow from. Ours is done. And then it was me for 2.5, 3 years hoping for a different answer. Just hoping that like something else would happen. I'm like, oh, no, that was just like a weird thought, right? Those thoughts don't have to be real. Like that'll go away. We'll figure it out. We'll work it out. Because I was like, that wasn't the plan. I had the picture perfect family that we take photos and that's cute, perfect on Instagram and we look great. And I'm like, this isn't the plan. Like to end up going through a separation. Like I'm not supposed to be divorced. I'm going to stay married forever. Like all these paradigms that I had to be willing to just allow to kind of fall away. And I was reading this, I don't know if you know about the app, The Pattern, but I remember on one of the things that showed up for me, it was like, for you to live the life you're supposed to live, you're going to have to let go of what you thought a picture perfect family was. And I just like fell to the floor and I knew, I was like, that's it. I already know. I have to let this go.
Wow. Okay. Let me go back to the soul contract podcast.
Yeah.
You know, that decision not only started to alter your life, but it's going to impact your children. Mm-hmm. And most people will never take that action because, like your parents, they didn't want to disrupt the kids or because the fear of the unknown. So what was it that you heard that just finally, was that aha moment? Because I'm sure there were a lot of them, but that you found on the floor. What was it that just shook you up to the core that you said, holy shit. And now you went on this journey for 2 years. Processing, because that's powerful, because in the end you're doing it number one for yourself, but then your kids reap the benefits of it.
Yeah. I don't even remember what was said. I think it was just saying not everything's meant to be forever, and certain people will come into your life for a season and then there's no more benefit to them being in your life. Like eventually there can come a point where there's nothing left to do, to grow from, to learn from, and it's okay. And I went, oh crap, like this has been coming up to being done, but like I can feel that it's done. And yeah, from that moment forward, that was in like summer of 2021, I just hoped for a different answer. And honestly, like I ended up getting drunk for almost 6 months. Like I went out with friends, I ended up getting drunk all the time. It was after obviously the world shut down. All the things happened. We moved to San Diego. I had this like urgent, we need to leave now. And I literally booked tickets, found a place to live. We left Canada to move to San Diego for six. It was supposed to be 3 months, ended up being 6 months. And I just pretty much drank. But in that time, it wasn't like a bad drinking because I actually dove into finding me. So it's like I had just fallen into building a business, being the mom. Like I turned into this robot and like lost myself. And so in that 6 months, being in the sunshine, hanging out with friends again, prioritizing fitness again, prioritizing myself, I started to find myself again. And the drinking and all of that stuff was kind of a way to like let go of control because I was such a control freak and I was living so rigid and like crazy. And so I don't know, it was just like this season of unraveling me to a point where when we left California and we came home, I knew, I was like, this is done. This is not going to be a thing. And I think part of that, and we can obviously jump into fatherhood too, but he ended up taking on a role of like being the stay-at-home dad. And it wasn't supposed to be a thing that lasted. He was just supposed to quit the job to help me with the two babies because they were 11 months apart and just stay for a little bit till he found out what he wanted to do because he didn't love his job, which ended up turning into like 4 years of not working. And like I was building resentment in that time and I continued to like try to talk to him about it, but we lacked communication. Like we didn't talk. I never could openly say, okay, I'm feeling super disconnected. Like I'm thinking about divorce. Like I couldn't say it when I first felt it. I didn't have the confidence to say those words for almost 2 years. So I was in complete turmoil internally about this decision and we were not talking about it. And he could feel it too, but he wasn't willing to talk about it. So neither of us were really communicating what we were feeling or what was going on. And then I think I just hoped he would step up and like take control or like start to lead the situation and be like, holy crap, like my marriage is about to end. I need to do something. And he just never did. So,
and
yeah.
Well, during that time, how did she show up for the kids now that he's playing the dual role of almost, you know, mother and father in a way?
Right.
You're out building the business. He stayed home.
That's the hard part. Like, I work from home. So I was never out that much building the business. Like, yeah, some days he watched the kids, but a lot of the days I was there too. So it's like, I would still end up making them breakfast or doing food or taking them to the park. Like, we still did a lot together. And I think I built resentment in that too, because I was hoping, you know, if you're going to be the stay-at-home dad, like, teach them stuff, like take them to do other activities aside from going to the park. And like, I was building resentment because I was thinking, okay, if I didn't have to be building a business, I would be doing activities with them. And he wasn't like doing much with them. So he would take them out and like keep them busy sometimes, but I would end up getting resentful because I think you know this, like any man without passion and purpose, like it's a recipe for disaster. And so he was trying to play this role, but like he would clean the house and he would do all these things to try to be productive, but it wasn't what I was needing. Like, I didn't need a clean house to feel connected or like I valued him. I didn't need him to just take the kids to the park so I could have 2 hours of quiet time. I was hoping he would, you know, like teach them sports, take them to activities, enroll them in stuff. And none of that was happening. And so then I would get frustrated. And I was just, eventually I'm like, okay, when are you going to do something? Like, what are you going to do with your life? And I think that was tough on our relationship because it's like he moved in with me from his mom's. And I just, at this point in my life, I'm like, if a guy doesn't know what his passion, purpose, like where he's kind of going and doesn't have any vision for his life, I'm like, it's just danger. I don't know how a relationship's going to work when a guy doesn't have any of that leading him somewhere.
And did you verbalize this over the course of the couple of years or?
In the beginning, I would say not clearly. Like I would encourage him. So like when he quit, I was like, don't worry about it. Like, you hate your job. Just hang out with the kids. This is time you're never going to get back. Spend time with them as babies, because he wasn't connected to our first son because he was always working. And so I was like, with our second, why don't you take time, because we're allowed paternity leave in Canada. And I was like, just take the like 6 months to a year, spend the time with him. It's time you're never going to get back. And then you can figure out what you want to do in the meantime type thing. And he wanted to do that. And so he was like, okay, I'm thinking about doing this or this or this, and like had all these ideas. And so I'm like, okay, the same way I've figured it out, he's going to figure it out. And it was like, we would have conversations about what he might do. And I wasn't naggy in the beginning. Like, I wasn't weighing my mask. I'm like, what are you going to do? And like, I wasn't like that in the beginning. But towards the end, it was like, okay, it's been years now. Like, what do you want to do? Like, do you, and I would try to offer suggestions. And like, I think he just was paralyzed in fear. And fear of failure, that he couldn't do anything. Yeah. So it's not great for our relationship dynamic.
How were the kids impacted by that?
I don't really know. Like, they both obviously have us around and they're so young still that it's hard to say exactly how it's impacted them and what they picked up on. I think it's sad because I think him being disconnected from themselves, obviously kids pick up on energy and can feel that. And whether this is just a thing with boys and their dads and they're always going to be closer to their moms, I don't know. Because obviously there's lots of boys who like their dads. But I think because he's not willing to connect with himself on a really deep level, it's like you miss out on the deep connection you could have with your kid. And their connection could be so much deeper if he was willing to go inward with himself. So I don't know, when I think back of like when they were younger, how did it impact them? I don't know. Like, even now it's really tough because he takes them on weekends and I have them all week. And they're finally now a year later, slowly starting to be like, oh, okay, it's a daddy day. But like, they still would rather be here. And that's super hard as a dad to always know that your kids would rather be with mom. That's like a whole thing to try to navigate too. And how crappy it's obviously felt for him. But then in a lot of moments too, I'm like, now he's prioritizing his job, which I'm like, I work too. It's just like a weird thing. Cause it's like, yeah, I work also and have the kids with me 5 days a week while I'm trying to work, where he works obviously 5 days a week and he's like away all day. But then in the evenings, he's like, I'm busy. I have these things to do. And I'm like, it's the weird dynamic of, I couldn't imagine as a mom ever thinking I was too busy to be with my kids. Like, I could never imagine, like, oh, I'm busy working, so, like, I can't come by. We live 3 minutes away. Like, he literally lives down the hill, and he's too tired, or he has to work out, or he's got things to do for work. And I'm just like, I couldn't imagine. And I don't know, I would love your perspective on that too as a dad. Like, if that's just a man thing that they're okay doing that. But I'm like, I would prioritize like kid time over anything. I don't know. Like, I just couldn't imagine going 5 days because I'm too busy. And we have a really great relationship. Like, my home is always open for him to come over. So I don't know. Or if it's still just the disconnect. I don't know.
Do you think the disconnect is maybe because you ended the relationship and maybe there's some hurt and resentment and it plays out onto the kids? Because that's a common denominator that happens in a lot of relationships is, although you have this open communicated relationship and your door's open, there's still, you know, from a male perspective, mm-hmm. our ego gets bruised. Mm-hmm. Especially when we're used to be the one being the dominant. And now you say, well, wait a minute, you don't want me anymore? Mm-hmm. You know? So do you think that maybe comes into play? So he takes it on the kids, not in a very harsh way, but in a very mm-hmm. subtle way?
Maybe. Because for sure there was resentment in the beginning against me and like very not happy with us splitting and all of those emotions. But I don't know. It's just weird. I'm like, for dads listening, I'm like, you have to show up for your kids. Like, as a mom, I can't imagine. I don't know very many moms who don't show up, who wouldn't prioritize them over anything else going on. So I don't know. It's just weird. I'm like, how I couldn't imagine thinking the gym or meal prep or things like that, or like your own stuff is ever more important than the kids.
You know, in my past lifetime, before my journey with plant medicine, which was now 4 years ago, I was that narcissist father. I was that one that didn't show up for my kids. I provided for them, mm-hmm. but providing for them was my way of showing up. And, you know, when I look back, and I look back at now, my youngest daughter has had a baby. So we have a grandbaby. So she's a year old now. But I have to FaceTime every day. I have to. So it's that connection. I know they say the love of a grandfather is different than love of a parent, but I just didn't really have that connection mm-hmm. with my kids because I was so busy with work and trying to build businesses and my political career and all this stuff. And now, to answer your question, we say, well, my perspective, I think it was just me connecting mm-hmm. the heart. Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot that had to do with my sitting with myself. And there's different ways, whether it's plant medicine or breath work and so forth. But until you truly sit with yourself and learn how to love yourself, mm-hmm. I really don't think you can love your kids or love anybody mm-hmm. else the way. And now looking back, now that I've been able to purge out a lot of that crap mm-hmm. inside and truly experience what love is, mm-hmm. now not only are my kids and their mom getting the benefits of it, but my granddaughter is getting the ultimate just abundance of love. And that answer is, it's going to be him sitting with himself. And hopefully mm-hmm. your journey is going to eventually that resentment will weigh away and he'll say, like, you know what? There is something to this, not her just traveling all over the world and, you know, sitting with herself and crying and purging and, you know, all this stuff that people think. Yeah. But when he starts, you leading the way, and, you know, they say action speaks louder than words. When he finally is open to sitting with himself, whatever that looks mm-hmm. like, that's when the connection is going to happen. Right. That's when the gym is not going to be a priority to kids. That's when meal prepping, work. No, that's when it's going to be, no, my children come first. That's where it's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. The same way we couldn't be fully connected, that relationship with the kids isn't as deep either because you can only deepen a relationship as far as you've deepened it with yourself. So it's like until you take those steps and you deepen that, cultivate it within you to connect with you. And it's that return to the heart and even being able to connect to your own heart Like, it's going to give, it's going to continue having barriers with everyone that you love. And I think that's the biggest thing that people need to realize is if you are not willing to do that and face that, it's keeping a barrier between the people you love. It could be your kid, your friendships, your relationships, your marriage, everything. Like, everything is going to be impacted. And like you just said, now you're able to feel a connection and like want to love on your granddaughter. Do you feel like there was a fear for you to like fully love something outside of you? Because like, how do you think that shows up?
Oh, absolutely. It was a fear of being vulnerable, being hurt.
Yeah.
It goes back to my childhood and feeling abandoned or not loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then especially if you say he went from living at home to transition into this relationship, I can almost guarantee that a lot of this starts with how he was raised.
Oh, for sure.
And that's without even knowing the dynamics, but just how his relationship with his parents is showing up in the relationship. Not only did it show up with you guys, but how it's showing up with the kids.
Yeah. Well, it was surface level. And like talking on fatherhood, his dad was always working and like would come home and smoke weed or like whatever and was too stressed out or too busy, like had to watch TV to wind down, like couldn't put in the time to play with him ever. Like, he always felt like he was alone and didn't have anyone to be there for him. Definitely felt neglected when his grandma used to watch him. Like, so he, even to this day, he's like, he doesn't really have a close relationship with either of his parents. And with his dad was always shut down. So he was raised by a guy who was shut down, but his dad was from Nazi Germany, like used to come home and beat the crap out of him. And so there's so many, obviously it goes generationally in layers. But then it's like, eventually you have to be the one to decide like, okay, well, it stops with me and I'm going to change this. And so I think for him, he sees it as he's spent lots of time with his kid, but there's, and I try to give him the benefit of the doubt of like, you never really saw how to be a father, like to really show up in the things that you could do. And I always try to be like, okay, the things that your dad never did for you, like do that with your kid so that you can shift it. And I feel like that heals it within you rather than being like, oh, I don't know how. It's like, okay, everything you wish your dad did with you, do it with your kids, because I feel like that heals your inner child being able to like do that together.
I'm going to give you a suggestion.
Yeah.
Unsolicited feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So especially because you become conscientious and you're on this journey and you're doing something 99.5% of the people will never do. And that's healing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But because you know that he didn't come from that parenting lifestyle, that there were, he didn't have the traditional, and I don't want to say the word traditional, but we're finding this new way of parenting. Maybe you help create those opportunities for him. Oh, there's a fishing trip going on. Maybe you should look into it. Or, hey, why don't you take them camping? Maybe just kind of helping to. And I know that's not your responsibility, and I get it. But at the end of the day, it's about the connection with the kids.
Yeah.
And maybe just taking that little bit of time to seek out intimate moments where they can connect. Because when you connect and you put away the cell phones and you get away from the TV and the Xbox and all that other crap, and they're forced, a father's forced. And so one of these we're doing with Father Voices is we're going to start gifting experiences with fathers and their children. Fishing trips.
Right.
No cell phones. And we're going to put you on a canoe where there's no Wi-Fi. And you're going to go and sit on a canoe or somewhere with no Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And we're going to create these activities to engage in conversation, but we're going to create the moment for them because a lot of fathers don't know how. I didn't know how.
Right.
Yes, there was a lot of resources out there and books, and I was great about educating myself, but when it came to fatherhood, I just went off of how I grew up.
Right.
But I know maybe helping to create those moments or at least point him in that direction because he doesn't know how.
Right. I know.
And that's what's going to help to, once your kids start loving on you and you develop with, they cry because they no longer want to go home. They don't want to go to mom's house. They want to be with dad. That's a game changer right there. Like, I don't care how hardcore you are. When your child is now crying because they don't want to go home with mom and want to be with dad, the silo's been broken. Like, there's breakthrough there.
Well, yeah, because you feel so loved and so special. Like, I know it obviously is hurtful when, and now they do, like, they'll be like, oh my God, where's dad? I want him to come over. And so they're starting to do that, which I think is going to help him be like, no, you're needed. You're valued. They love you. They need you around. And I've been like, what if we sign up for boxing? You can take them. Or like, sign them up for baseball. You can take them. So it is things like that, but creating something for them to do. Yeah.
Well, put them on a schedule. Now, whether you choose to do or not, that's okay. But at least you're giving them tools and the resources
yeah.
to help them. And then eventually he'll pick up. Like, it becomes fun. I mean, how can you not go do martial arts with your kids or something?
Right.
You know, coach a team and not just fall in love with them all over again. Because in a sense, you're learning how to fall in love with your kids.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
It heals both of you, right? And I think I've had moments where I've had to parent, like, in, I don't know what he did, but my six-year-old, I think he hit me one time accidentally or purposely. I don't even remember. I think it was on accident. And he felt so bad about it. And I remember, like, in that moment, I think I was parenting myself, like, when I grabbed him and I hugged him to let him know, like, I know it was an accident. You don't need to feel bad about it. I'm not going to get mad at you. He was crying and I was crying and I was like, oh my gosh, I think it's because I needed to feel like, not feel shame for messing up when I was a kid. And like, those little moments can be so healing, not only for you as a parent, but also your child, when you're able to witness them and be there for them through how you wish someone showed up for you. And that's been the most beautiful thing about parenting, I think, is every time there's those little moments, if you're conscious and aware, you can almost stop yourself in a moment where I could have really reacted and gotten really bad because it hurt, or like, oh my God, why would you do that? Or all of the reactions I could have had. But instead I went, this wasn't on purpose. He already feels bad. Like, all I would have wanted in that moment was love and to know that I'm loved even though I wasn't perfect. And so I just grabbed him and I hugged him and we both started bawling our eyes out. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like the six-year-old right now. Like, I'm hugging you, but I'm hugging me. And these beautiful moments that if you allow it can literally heal your whole childhood through the relationship you cultivate with your kids.
Wow.
It's so powerful. If you let yourself tap in though, you've got to let yourself feel. And that's the hard part for a lot of people.
It's scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
Do you think your ex-husband, the father of your children, will ever go on that journey with plant medicine?
I don't know, because, I mean, he used to do mushrooms recreationally, right? Like, he's done every drug recreationally. So I don't know if he will or if he's in a stubborn place because he doesn't want to, like, copy me, you know? Or if eventually he'll do it because he knows he needs it. I'm not sure. But, like, I've invited him to come to things before. He always says no, and that's okay. But eventually, I hope he will for himself, because I'm like, obviously, when you find love in yourself, you have love and compassion for literally everyone. So despite whatever happened in a relationship, like, I still love him, care about him, tell him I love him. That's weird for him. He's like, why do you want to love me and hug me? And I'm like, because I love you. Like, you're the father of my kids. I still want to love you. He's always like, why do you want to hug me? And it's so funny because I've hugged him before. Gosh. And my kids will be like, ew, cringe. And I'm like, okay, that's sick. Like, what is your deal? But I just feel like if you come from a loving place, like, at least the invitation, and it's an open place for him to talk about if he wants to. I don't know, right? And for some people, I just am at this place where I'm like, they may never want to. And that's okay. It just doesn't mean that you have to hold the space to keep them in your life if it's, you know, if it's detrimental towards you.
I just think a co-parenting spiritual ceremony with psilocybin would be powerful. And
yeah.
For the kids.
Yes.
It's because the biggest fear is psychedelics in general. But if he's already dabbled in that, then there's no fear about sitting with. It's a fear of sitting with himself.
Yes.
But something like that, oh my gosh, that could be a freaking game changer.
Yeah.
Not in the dynamics of you guys, but just how the future of it wouldn't even be co-parenting anymore. It would just be one container.
Yes.
Of love.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's going on in your life, what's going on in his life, Wow.
You should get one of those going. But it would be getting these freaking co-parents in the room, because I've shared about co-parenting online, and the comments that I get, even through talking about separation, men are mad. Like, when my videos go viral, men are the most triggered, miserable people I've ever seen. And I'm like, this is so embarrassing that there's this many men on this planet that are spending their time commenting on women's posts, like, that are just because they've obviously been left or separated from or whatever, but they're holding all of that bitterness, resentment within them. And so the comments that they'll put are insane. And the assumption that if me and Mike, because one of my videos went viral about how my kids called and like wanted me to come play Mario. And so I went over to his house to come play. And they're like, you must still want him, like all like this, the hate in the things. And I'm like, you guys, this is a good thing. This means that we're able to talk to each other and not be miserable and hate each other and not like the amount of people I know who their experience went through separation was them getting dropped off at the end of a driveway because the parents can't talk to each other, or them never being able to talk to one of their parents when they're with the other one because that parent's like, it's my time, and they hate the other parent, so they won't even let the other parent have access to them. Like, there's so many horrible co-parenting dynamics that I felt from even way before I went through this. I remember being a teenager watching people who had parents going through a separation and thinking, this is like, how can you be so immature as an adult? Like, take on your responsibility as the adult to be the adult and stop putting your children in a situation that, like, this is not their fault. This is on you as a parent, and it's not for them to have to deal with any of the repercussions. I don't even know what the right word would be. From your decision to not want to be together. And so I've never wanted my kids to ever feel like when they're with dad, they can't have access to me, or when they're with me, they can't have access to dad. The second they want to talk to dad, we're calling him. I include him in everything. We still do Christmas together. We do holidays together. I've invited him to come on trips with us. Like, I don't ever want them to feel like there is a separation. They don't need to feel like there's a separation of mom and dad. Maybe we're not in a relationship and we're not together all the time, but I don't want them to think they have to choose either, or feel like, oh, I have to pick mom's side or dad's side. I don't want them to ever feel any of that. Like, they have access to mom and dad, and we can do stuff as a family still. We can do everything together still. But there's just so much hate in people's hearts who have gone through this, and the blaming of the other parent, where I'm like, let's just create the best relationship we can between each other out of mutual respect and love for our kid and for the kids. Like, whatever they need and want, I'm willing to do. So when they call me and they're at dad's, and even though I've been with them for 6 days straight, and I'm like, oh my God, the things I would do to just have one evening to get shit done. I'm like, he doesn't always do that. So the moment he does, I'm going to go show up for him, because this isn't about my co-parent who it's his time. I'm like, it's for the child who's needing mom right now. And so I'm going to go show up for him. And in those moments, I think it just alleviates the stress or the disconnect of feeling like, oh my God, when I'm at dad's house, I don't see mom. And I think that's so real for so many kids. And the reason that there even is a fight of the separation and why they don't want to go to dad's is because they know there's no mom. But if you make it that they know they can always have mom, even when they're at dad's and vice versa, there's not such a pull or an anxiety about having to be at the other parent's house, because they know they can have access to you whenever they need you.
You know, that's such a powerful self-realization, and how you're choosing to embrace not only motherhood, but just this co-parenting aspect.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to get to that place? Because that's almost a sense of, it's almost like a sense of enlightenment when you deal with the dynamics of this quarantine. What did that journey look like?
Like, for example, this is just what we did. But when we realized, like, okay, the only next step is separation, like, I think you need to move out, and he was looking at places, we were talking about it all together. It was like, where are you going to live? What place do you want to be in? Like, we did it together. When he moved into the new house, his first night there, I went with the kids. We bought toys. We're like, let's bring toys to daddy's. We made it fun. We were like, you get to help design a new room. Let's make this fun. We did it together. The first night he was in the house, we all did dinner in the house together. So we did things as much as we could together. And in the first little bit, when they didn't want to stay at his house, like the first time it was fun, but then they started realizing, like, crap, when I go to dad's, like, I don't see mom for a few days. Okay, well, I don't want them to fear that. So on those days, it was like, okay, they're at the park, I'm coming to the park. Okay, you guys are there and you need me to put you to sleep, I'll put you to sleep at dad's and then I'll leave. So it was like, I just met the needs of the children every single step of the way, whatever they were needing. And now a lot of the time, like on Christmas was the hardest day for me because they went to dad's at night. Like we spent Christmas together, but they left that night. And that was like the hardest thing I've had to go through in terms of the whole co-parenting dynamic. But when they left, they were excited to leave. They're like, hey, we get to go to dad's, like, yeah. And they knew they were getting a Christmas the next day at his mom's house. And so it was good. It was horrible for me because I wanted them to stay with me, but also for him to be able to have them be excited to go. And I don't know if we ever would have gotten to this place where there wasn't a fight if we didn't put our own stuff aside and show up for them. And there was drama. Like at first we were getting along so great because there was no one else involved. Okay, well, then I got involved with someone. He found out, he was pissed at me, super mad at me. And in that season, like we were not talking. He still would come to the house, grab them. We still would, you know, be normal. Was the energy around the kids good? Probably not. But we still were respectful, even though he probably could have punched me in the face. Like he was mad. He was not happy. He was like disgusted at me as a person. Like he had all those feelings, but he was mature enough to not do it in front of the kids. But I do think like they watch everything. Like I have two boys and there's moments where, for example, like he threw a BlackBerry at my face and my youngest son was so mad, like crying, trying to beat him up because he's like, why would you disrespect my mom like that? And all he did was throw a BlackBerry at me. And in that moment, I felt so sad for these poor kids who have to witness their parents go through even worse, right? Like where the dad is yelling at the mom or saying things or actually physically hitting her. And what that would be like as a kid where you feel so helpless, but you just want to defend them because you love them. And my youngest son is so protective. Like, and I don't know, you can ask me anything else from here, but like he'll wake up and be like, wait, are the doors locked? He's just turned 5. He's like, wait, are the doors locked? Wait, did we do this? Mom, let me do this for you. Like, he's so cute. And it's not like he's been taught that. He just naturally, that's part of his makeup, is that he wants to be there to like help keep safe and protect. And I think it's adorable. But it just shows me that like this is within their nature as kids, just as males, right? It's like within their nature to think about these things. I don't know.
I always like to find some takeaways, tools, resources that we can use to put on our website, you know, that people can use. That right there about togetherness. Now, I don't know what the title is going to be, but with your permission, I definitely want to take that and turn that into some type of PDF or best practice, because it sounds like what you guys did was you set healthy boundaries as you started to unravel the relationship. And it was inclusive with the kids and so forth. So that allowed for the shift, this new change in lifestyle. It was a softer landing, if that makes sense. But so many times when this happens, no, the ego kicks in, the resentment, and it's fighting. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Don't worry about yourself. You didn't want this. You know, I can go on and on. But the fact that you guys did this together, you looked for a place together, just the whole way you spun it, that can shave off years of fucking drama. Like literally, you know, it can, because you're reestablishing new boundaries, but they can go to shit. And from there, it can just feed on top and feed on top of it. So something as simple as the breakup can lead to a lot more trauma and ultimately impacts the kids. So I just think that it's beautiful that you took that. And there's been some, you know, I'm sure it wasn't always like easy. It's been a learning process. But the fact that the kids were inclusive, everybody was a part of this, sounds like it just made for just a smoother transition. And that's medicine right there for people.
It is. It is. And knowing that you get to create it to be whatever you want it to be. And obviously, I know that not every situation, not every parent is going to be willing to do that. But we just tried to make it fun. Like, go pick out new toys for dad's house. Like, make it fun as you can for what's happening. And something else that I did, I never took down his photos in our house. I think I'm finally ready to do that. But I wanted to remain as little change as possible. So I didn't like overhaul my house. I didn't take all his stuff away. I didn't take his photos down. I didn't change anything within my house at all. I wanted them to feel like their routine was the same. And even on weekends, like my dad is involved too. So my dad will be there. So they know that even at dad's, they have all of us right here. And I think also not being willing, like I could be a jerk. I could have tried to fight for child support or child custody or all that stuff. We haven't done any of that. We don't have a single agreement. We're working just with each other for what works. So we didn't go and get lawyers involved. I think that's the worst decision you could ever make is getting lawyers involved right away while there's emotions are really high. And I feel like lawyers are there to create an even bigger fight because they get paid off of it. So I'm like, I'm not paying for lawyers to make me fight. I don't even want the energy of that. And so for me and him, we came to an agreement ourselves. Obviously, we're both honest and loyal people. So it's like easier than obviously if you're dealing with someone that's like toxic, abusive, all the things and you need that. But we didn't do any of that. So we just created, it was like, okay, what works right now is he's working 5 days a week. So he'll take the kids on weekends. You can come over and see them once a week, whatever. And there were seasons where it was like, hey, we should get an agreement. And like things got a little heated. But eventually it's just kind of worked to where we are. And I technically, like I pay for everything for the kids. I could try to fight him for child support. I don't want to. I don't want the energy of it. I don't want the fight of it. He could probably try to fight me for more in terms of income that we're paying. But instead of me paying him spousal, I just pay his rent. And I was like, I want you to live in a nice place. So pick something that feels good. I pay the rent without fighting because I know it's a good place for my kids to live. I don't hold like, oh my God, I'm doing this for you. I don't hold any of that energy. And this is where it's all a choice based on you. Like if you're the person, I've watched women do this. We're like, but he's not paying me child support and he's not doing this. And it's like, just, I get that. But if you have an avenue to go build your own life, build it. Why would you want to try to take money from someone? Like that messes with you energetically. And it creates this really awful dynamic. And so I never wanted to create this weird, awful dynamic because of money between us. So even though technically I'm sure I could try to get money for child support, I don't want it. I'd rather be good on my own and not have this animosity and hate between us or like this one up of who's paying what. Like I don't put any time or energy into any of that. And it's like, that's for my own peace. That's not because of like what I could get or what I could take and vice versa. I just don't want the energy of the fight and the money situation that comes in that like would negatively impact my kid. Because if we're in that energy against each other, they're the ones that are feeling that. My life is the one that's not peaceful because of it. And so I just remind you, if you're going through a separation, like know that you're fully in control of how this experience goes and how you feel about it. And in those moments where if they're not showing up for you and it sucks, like when they don't show up for your kids or they say they're going to show up and they don't, like, I know there's a lot of hard moments. But for me, I was like, all I can do is control me. The same way in my own healing journey, all I can do is control me. That's all I can do and show up for them in the best way that I can. And the rest of it, I just don't want the energy of the fight. So I don't put myself in a position to fight.
Wow. This was a powerful episode and you just sharing just your transformation and you've evolved and then stepping into your power and finding your voice. You know, like I said, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Courageous. And any closing thoughts as we start to wrap up? There were so many powerful nuggets here. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot that people are going to benefit from, especially mothers that are struggling with fathers and, you know, them not being present or just trying to maneuver through. They want out. How to navigate it, you know?
And I guess my closing thoughts would be like, I always bring myself back to, even though I have an image of what a perfect father could be, right? And like all the things that they could do. And when it is your kids, you want them to obviously have the best situation. But I just go, okay, well, they picked this situation for a reason. They picked this dynamic for a reason. I picked my dynamic of my parents for a reason. I got so much from it. It taught me so much. So I just trust that it's going to be perfect for them too, even in the hardship. I have a lot of friends who had horrific upbringings who have chosen not to be a victim to their circumstances, but like rise above it. And it's made them who they are. And so I just remember that kids are resilient. They're all going to have their stuff no matter how perfectly we try to show up. And all we can do is try to love them and support them through it. And it's okay. Like if a parent's not perfect, it's okay. I think the worst thing that you can do is hold on to the resentment against the other parent for not being perfect. And just like try to let that go because I was so full of resentment. I literally used to look at him with disgust. towards the end of our relationship. I couldn't even value him as a human being, if I'm being really honest. And as I've let go of the layers of resentment and all the things and gone on my own journey, I can look at him as an alive human being who does have value because he's a human and he's the father of my children. And I can see love for him again, not in a way where I want to be together in a relationship, but I can still love him as a human. But that wasn't right away. That's like now a year later, I'm slowly like I'm getting to this place where I've dropped a lot of the resentment. So just know if you're in the fresh beginnings of it all, there's going to be a lot of emotions, but like you can get to a place where you no longer hold the resentment. You're able to forgive it all and let it go and just try to create the best circumstances that you can based on the situation.
You know, thank you for that. And this is a call out or message to all you fathers, and especially when you're in a relationship or even a marriage, that eventually your significant other will reach that point where they're done. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it's just, it happens over time. And you have to look for those signs and know that as men, sometimes we think we can push them to that point and then reel it back in. But eventually one day, you're going to miscalculate and you're going to push too far. And once they're done, they're done.
Yeah.
And that's been medicine for me too, is coming to the self-realization that, yeah, you can try things the same way and think that you can take a relationship for granted. Just know that eventually someone's going to just get to the end. And once they reach that point, that's it. There's no coming back.
And I would say too, it's usually women. Like men, what I found is most men won't leave the relationship. They may want to, they may not be happy. They may go have an affair. They may have multiple affairs, but they're usually not going to ask for divorce. Women will. So it's like women will. And here's the thing. I was conveying my needs and the things that I wanted for a long time before I got to the point where I was like, okay, this has to be done. And like you just said, it's like once that decision's made in a woman's heart, good luck changing it. Like unless you have a complete overhaul and you can show them that like, no, I'm in this. I want this. I'm choosing you. And you're willing to, you know, shift everything. It's going to be really tough because once you create that, like this is no longer safe for me or beneficial for me and like I'm done and you've kind of disconnected, it's really hard to come back from. So listen to what they're saying. Like even if you feel nagged on or whatever the things are, the things that they're not happy about, they're going to say it and they're going to communicate it for a long time before they decide that's it. I've done everything I could do. I've said all I could say and nothing's changing. So just know that when people are like, I don't know, it came out of nowhere. I'm like, it never comes out of nowhere. They've been asking, you just haven't been listening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so much medicine here. I'm ready to go back. So thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Before we finally made this happen. And closing thoughts, you know, fathers, pay attention to this episode. As this episode right here, this episode could save your family. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think like, I don't know, like one last thought that I have, it's just as a father, if you're blaming the woman or your wife or your partner or your ex-partner, like that's creating an issue too. And so I would just say like, be really mindful because I never want to put blame on him. I'm very mindful of how I talk about him. I have a podcast. I talk about our relationship. I'm never going to bad talk him because he's the father of my kids. If I have that energy about him, I never want that to trickle into my kids ever. Like, I don't want to taint their image or create some image. Like, their kids are smart. They're going to, even if the mother in your life is the worst person ever, trust that your kids are going to see that when they're ready to see it. So you don't need to be the one to try to convince your kids of anything, of who's the better parent or who's bad or who doesn't show up. Don't implant any ideas. Your kids are smart. They're going to figure it out on their own. You don't need to push any of your own beliefs on them. They'll figure that out for themselves.
And what's the name of your podcast and how can people find you? Because I think this would be powerful because we have a lot of women that also watch podcasts because they're trying to learn how to deal with their narcissistic baby daddies and so forth.
Yeah, yeah, baby daddies. Okay, me and you should do an episode together because I think it's pretty much all women who listen to mine. And just as a perspective of someone who was the narcissistic father, it'd be so powerful. But it's called the Expand and Evolve podcast. It's on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. And my name is Carly Pynchon. You can just find me on Instagram at Carly Pynchon.
Awesome. I love that idea. You'll probably get the most hated comments because we're like, that piece of shit before, you know, but it's a transformation because, oh my gosh, I can tell you some stories that I'll, yeah, you know, really.
But I think it's helpful because people don't talk about it, right? People don't talk about what really happened in relationships or like what people have been through. And it makes people feel like they're not alone when they realize, oh, there are like guys who are pretty douchey that can come around. You know, it's helpful for people to know.
I was one of those.
Yeah.
I can admit now I was one of those guys that it took a long time to come around. And fortunately, it was sitting within myself to finally have that realization.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Powerful. Thank you.